Welcome to International Dispute Negotiation, your guide to resolving disputes everywhere.
This is Mike McElrath, and this podcast is about different ways of accepting and managing the risks of dispute resolution, presenting them through the eyes of experts from different countries and backgrounds. Well, it's time to discuss mediation in the Netherlands. And here we are with
Manon Schoonwille, Executive Director of ACB in the Netherlands.
And ACB stands for?
ADR Center for Businesses.
Which is in Dutch.
ADR Centrum voor het Bedrijfsleven.
Okay. Say that one more time for the listeners who are learning Dutch.
ADR Centrum voor het Bedrijfsleven.
Okay, I won't repeat you.
But I won't ask you to do that.
Well, great, Matt. Thanks so much. And tell us a little bit about ACB and how long you've been around and kind of your own activities, how long you've been active in mediation.
Okay. Yes. I started to work as a managing director for ACB, the foundation, in 1999. And the foundation was a hybrid organization. So we did two things. On one hand, we were a mediation provider. And on the other hand, we did corporate representation and we did research and development into ADR for businesses. Now, from October 1 on, so the day after tomorrow, we will have a new structure. We split the organization into two activities. We have the commercial activities, which is the mediations and the providership and guided negotiations, deal mediation, etc. on one hand, and it's going to be formed into a limited organization, so it's a commercial activity.
A for-profit organization,
okay. Excuse my Dutch language here. Sometimes I'll make the wrong translation. It's a for-profit organization, and we are going to be a provider, but we are going to do trainings too. And we will not train mediators because there are excellent training institutes for mediators in the Netherlands already. What we are going to do is offer trainings for users. So we will do mediation advocacy, how to represent your client in mediation. We will do mediation techniques for managers. And some in-depth.
What about negotiation techniques?
And negotiation techniques too. Yeah, mediation and negotiation.
Oh, will these be in Dutch or in English or?
Both. We will do Dutch trainings, but we are also targeting at international summer courses or things like that.
Okay. And where are you going to be holding these trainings, these courses?
It will be at a central location in the Netherlands, so either Amersfoort, Utrecht, Amsterdam. It depends on where most of the participants are coming from.
And you guys are based in Amsterdam, right?
No, we are based in The Hague.
On The Hague, sorry.
In The Hague, but that's
same airport.
Quite near. Yeah,
I always think of Schiphol, you know, yes. Schiphol Airport, basically.
it's around Schiphol or somewhere. Yes, it's easy within reach, within 1 hour by train.
Okay.
And these are the commercial activities. And then we have the remaining part of the foundation. And the foundation will focus on research and development into mediation and ADR processes.
And then arbitration. You don't do arbitration.
No, we don't do arbitration. We do offer in our provider business some kind of informal arbitration. We call it binding advice. So it would be like a mediator evaluation or a mediator decision. We do MedArb or ArbMed. Mm-hmm. We even had a very nice case together with Michael Leeds a couple of years ago. It was a ARP-MED. So we started with arbitration, an informal arbitration, and after that we did a mediation procedure, and it worked brilliantly.
Yeah, I've heard Michael talk about that experience. Yeah, hopefully we'll talk to him one day. He can relate how that went.
Yes, actually we wrote an article about it. So if anybody is interested, managing intellectual property, on the website you can download it, and you can also download it from our website.
And the website is?
Yes, acbmediation.com.
Okay. But you used to offer arbitration in conjunction with mediation, not you, but through the Netherlands Arbitration Institute, NAI, right?
We We used to refer in the multi-step clause. So if you do mediation, you use ACB.
Right.
If the next step would be arbitration, you would go to the NAI. And that's something we can still recommend, of course. But we can also recommend ICC arbitration. Or it depends if you work internationally and which one you would
But any arbitration rules in conjunction with your mediation?
Yes, they are applicable.
Let's talk a little bit about mediation in the Netherlands and how it's evolved over the years. I mean, I think that it would be fair to say that the Netherlands is, and maybe it's because of the work you personally have done over the years, is seen as one of the more advanced countries in continental Europe in terms of getting mediation, not just developed and out there, but actually in practice and people using it. Yeah. What in your view, what's the state of the state of the art today in the Netherlands?
Okay.
Commercial mediation.
Yes, well, actually, if you look at commercial mediation in a broader sense, so that you include also employment cases, then we have a lot of mediation going on in the Netherlands. If you look at only commercial cases, so business-to-business, international cases, it is still on a rather limited level. We do have very sophisticated mediators, and they work internationally, and they have very good background. They do a lot of negotiation, etc. But still, the large corporations are not always eager or thinking about mediation as the first step. So we still have a lot of work to do there. However, there are a couple of Dutch multinationals who are really, I think, pioneering ADR. Like, for example, AkzoNobel, where one of the driving forces was Jan IJsbout, and he's involved with CPR as well.
They're very active in developing CPR as European advisory. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And they had some very good experiences with mediation, and maybe I can tell you one case, which was
by all means an example of
that, which was the beginning actually for them, because AkzoNobel adopted a mediation or ADR policy. So they say when we are in a dispute, the first step is that we decide whether mediation or negotiation or another ADR form is applicable, and only if not, we would go to litigation. And why is
so
that?
Presumption in favor of mediation.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, corporate policy, they really made.
And that was Jan.
Jan was one of the driving forces behind that. And Jan, by the way, was also one of the initiators of the foundation ACB, so he's very active in this field. Now, AkzoNobel was one day at a trade fair and saw a small American competitor, which seems like a contradiction in terms, maybe a big Dutch multinational and a small U.S. competitor.
Oh, come on. But you had a colonial empire.
We had. You said it quite well. Anyway, they saw that this small competitor used their technology. And they had a patent on that. And now, of course, the first normal reaction would be you engage your lawyer. And what will your lawyer do? Well, let's write a nasty letter and let's take him to court. This is not what AkzoNobel did. They tried to engage in a negotiation. But the American competitor actually was reluctant to enter into these negotiations. Because they thought it's a big multinational, they will pull us over the table, and so let's not do it. Moreover, they had a very different view. They said, we developed this technology ourselves, we also enhanced stuff on it, and we don't just like to give it up. So they had to start legal proceedings. Then at some point, they asked the U.S. judge whether he would refer the case to mediation, which the judge did. And but the judge only did that after having established that there had been a breach, or how do you say it? An infringement of the patent, a patent infringement. Same. And during the mediation, it was not...
So it was a situation where there was a patent that existed.
Absolutely.
And, the question whether or not it was whether the patent... Was there infringement or was there...
Yes. And the judge had already established,
infringement. This one is a question, I guess, of patent validity, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So what you would have expected is that they would talk about how much damages do does the American competitor need to pay, and negotiate about that. But that's not what happened. What they did, they really thought out of the box. At some point, all the interests came at the table. And one of the interests of AkzoNobel was, actually, they would have liked to enter the U.S. market with this technology. But at that time, they did not have the opportunity to do it, management resources, etc. And so they came with a brilliant idea. They gave a license to the American competitor. So they earned money on each and every transaction being made in the U.S., but also the American competitor won because they did not have to withdraw, they did not have to pay huge damages. Moreover, they saw that they had very good other products, so they are trading together. So it was a real mutual gain experience for them, actually. It's a textbook example.
Exactly, proverbially expanding the pie. Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, not all mediations end like that. Sometimes you need to...
You know, a lot of them, you know, I tell you, I mean, I think more and more, even in our world where relationships are so important, I mean, a lot of the times it's a one-off. It's you know, we call it the zero-sum game, you know, that somebody's got to give and somebody's got to take, and it's... and those are tough. Yeah. I mean, how do you approach those?
Well, what we do is that we look at the different types of interests, because there are mutual interests. Well, they are easy. For example, you want to resolve the case, or there is some kind of time pressure, so we want to have a resolution before a specific date, or you need to take into account certain things. So you can take that out of the equation. That's easy. Then you have the non-compatible interest, but the differing interests. And some of the differing interests are compatible, and others are incompatible. So compatible differing interests, you need to get them on the table, which is one of the big jobs of the mediator, to find out what are the underlying interests. But once you have them on the table, it's quite easy to solve, because for one party, it does not cost a lot. And for the other party, it's very important. Like, for example, getting an excuse, or having specific things established, or being able to deal with your constituency in a certain way. So you can already filter out a lot of things, even if you see it's a zero-sum thing, if you look at type of interests you have. Okay, then you have the big bunch of differing, non-compatible interests. And you need to be creative about that. Sometimes you can really find a different solution, like in the AkzoNobel case, where you say, okay, they both want to use this technology, and either one can do it. Well, that would be the regular way of looking at it in positional bargaining. But if you expand the pie, and if you ask different questions, then you can even find a solution for that. Now, in a case where it's not possible to find a sophisticated solution like that, you will either say, good, we have this cake, we need to divide it, but you divide it, and I will choose which part I will take on. Or you will throw a coin. That's sometimes mediators do things like that just in order to have the last gap being closed.
Flip a coin.
Absolutely. You do reality testing, because if you have already come so far during a mediation or a negotiation that you have nearly reached agreement, because from the 10 disputed points, you already found a solution to 8, why not find some solution for the last two, because you went so far, you will save a lot of money in either damages and payment for lawsuits, lawyers, etc., and in time. Time is money as well.
Where do your mediators come from? How many mediators are you an open mediator pool, or do you have a limited number of mediators?
No, yes, we have a limited number. Because of the change in the structure, because we merged our provider activities together with another organization in the Netherlands. Now we have about 90 mediators, and
90.
Okay.
And are they busy?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
Not all of them are as busy.
How many cases a year do you?
Well, it's a bit difficult to decide now, because we put together both organizations. It will be around 100 cases, something like
100
that.
100 cases a year.
Yes, okay. Together with the other organization. But these are big commercial cases. So if you would add employment cases, etc., you talk about different figures. But
it would be a
higher number. But we don't concentrate on that. We want to be the specialist in commercial cases. And our mediators have a very varied background. Obviously, there are a lot of lawyers or judges and notaries involved. But we also have architects. We have people with a medical background to do personal injury cases or things like that. Managers, people with a financial background. So what we do is that we try to match the parties with the mediator, because our philosophy is that not every excellent mediator is perfectly suitable for all parties in all cases. It depends how much emotion is involved, what kind of content expertise do you need, what type of mediator, from personality do you need.
And how do you go about selecting people into the pool, the 90 that you have? What's the selection process? Are there accreditations? Are there standards or certifications that people have to do? Once they're in, do they have to maintain them? What do you do in terms of the quality control and selecting and maintaining your pool? Yeah.
Well, in the Netherlands, we have a very good quality control and selection process for all mediators, so not just for the commercial mediators. The Dutch Mediation Institute has established what mediation trainings are accredited and what kind of trainings you need to do. After this, you have a written test. And
what is the accreditation that they have to do? What is the...
The accreditation is first a written test. Of all, you need to do the training.
What is the training?
The training is in mediation techniques. It's about 8 days, like that.
Right.
I think the absolute minimum will be 6, but 8 days, and then you get back with your group, and you have some homework and other things to do.
Okay, so it's serious.
It's serious. And so the Dutch Mediation Institute has specific rules what mediation training institutes are being accredited and so can deliver mediators for this accreditation. Then if you want to be registered with the Dutch Mediation Institute, you need to take at least a written test. If you pass that, you can register. You can also become a certified mediator, but then you need to do a practical test. So you have to mediate a case in front of a committee. And
a mock case, with
actors.
Uh-huh.
But it's very serious.
It's very
difficult to get through it. I'm one of the assessors, and only half of the mediators will come through it.
So
it's
very high standards.
Yes, it's very high standards. That's our basic.
But it probably leads to the high levels, I would imagine, of satisfaction with the participants in the process. I mean, if you're getting high quality mediators, so the participants, the users probably have good experience.
It's very high. We always ask the parties, would you mediate again if you would have a similar case?
Right.
And somewhere between 90 and 94%
you harvest feedback from the parties on the mediator's performance. What kind of questions do you ask the parties there?
Were you satisfied with the mediator performance? Was the mediator careful in his approach? Did you felt understood? Would you hire this mediator again? Do you think...
Did you ask if they would recommend the mediator to someone else? That's one of the things that we do often when we assess ourselves. It's a good way to find out, because people will often say, I would consider them again. But then when it comes to recommending someone to someone else, which is how mediators, and neutrals and arbitrators get business, people are often more reluctant to say that, the more honest assessment comes out.
That's a brilliant idea. I will immediately take that up in our questionnaire. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Listen, clauses in your contracts. What you have recommended clauses on your website in Dutch and English and other languages? Dutch and English,
yes.
Okay. And you have, I guess, both optional and a required mediation as well, right? So you would have an obligation to go through mediation before proceeding with binding dispute resolution.
Yes, you can do that. If you put it in a contract, you're bound to at least try mediation. But then the big question is, when have you tried mediation?
Okay, yeah. Great. Well, listen, thanks so much for taking the time today. Again, I don't know if you want to repeat the website.
Yes, please. I'd love to do that. It's www.acbmediation.com.
Okay. Well, very well known in the Netherlands and so, or in Europe too. There's no reason. So you're obviously doing a contract with a Dutch company. Certainly, an institution that can be considered, but also in other parts of
Europe. We work in MEDL, the International Mediation Services Alliance, together with CEDAR and with CMEP and the ADR Center in Italy and CHAMS.
But you're both domestic and international.
Yes, we did that.
Great.
So thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, appreciate it. Well, now, this is the chance where we have, this is the GE internal part of the podcast, where I actually get to speak directly to the GE lawyers or managers or folks who will be listening to this, not in the public, but just here within GE. So, and this is your chance to say, why people, your marketing pitch.
So it's my elevator pitch. How much time do I have?
Yes.
Well, actually...
Until you lose people's attention.
We've been thinking a lot about the positioning of our new organization. What do we like to do? And most mediation providers say we want to become the biggest in the world or the biggest in the Netherlands or the biggest in Europe or something like that. And we said we want to
I'm looking for total world domination. I want to dominate, rule the world.
That's not what we want to do.
Okay.
We said we want to become the organization, which we have a Dutch word and I can't really translate it, but where people get so excited to be part of, both the neutrals but also the clients, that they say it's the nicest organization, the most inspiring organization with thought leadership, and we like to be part of that. So that's our target. So if you're not looking for the biggest, but for an organization who really focuses on quality and also doing the best things and having the best things in mind for the clients and having enthusiastic and inspired neutrals, then you should consider ACB.
Have you had any experience with GE parties or ever had a mediation with GE?
Not yet, but we'd love to, Mike.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, by the way, I think we've even had cases where we've proposed mediation with you folks, but the fortunate thing for us and the unfortunate thing for you is that often just proposing mediation, you wind up getting into a settlement,
Which is fantastic.
Says they accept mediation, they say, well, why don't we just meet and try to settle?
Yes.
Okay.
It's what often happens, and I'm happy about that because that is what you want to do. Because one of the things we focus on is prevention of disputes. That's why we do a lot of deal facilitation or deal mediation as well to avoid.
Will you call the other side if we have a dispute? Will you blow through the other side's outside counsel and contact the party?
We wouldn't blow it for them.
Okay.
If you really like us to do it, we do it. But we prefer it if both parties already agree on mediation. So we would urge you, why don't you try to establish a contact yourself first? Because it's the first start of really finding a solution yourself. Because we think that's the core of mediation. Of course, if the other party totally refuses or you are on so totally no speaking terms that you can't do it, we will contact them. But in our experience, it's best if both councils or both organizations already agree on how they would like to resolve the disputes. It's the first step in the resolution.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Mike.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to International Dispute Negotiation. This podcast is presented by the International Institute for Conflict Prevention and Resolution, CPR. CPR is a membership-based nonprofit organization that promotes excellence and innovation in public and private dispute resolution, providing an international resource for the avoidance, management, and resolution of business disputes. For further information about CPR, or to download archived versions of this podcast, go to www.cpradr.org. Questions about this podcast or the issues discussed can be addressed to idn@cpradr.org. The music of Note Noir is used with permission.